In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the name of this Sunday in the prayer book and in Western church tradition is Quinquagesima. It's my favorite of the Jessima Sundays because I like saying it the most. Quinquagesima. It is the Sunday next before Lent. That's sort of the subtitle of this Sunday in the prayer book on page 122. There was a hue and cry to print the lessons and the collect in the bulletin again. So we're doing that again. But please don't let that be an excuse not to explore the prayer book. So the propers for today are not only in your bulletin, but also in the prayer book on page 122. And there you will see this Sunday called Quinquagesima, or the Sunday next before Lent. So, as I've already mentioned, that means this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. So this Sunday, you could sort of understand it as a launch pad for Lent. And look what Jesus says to the 12 in today's gospel. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise. Right? So you can kind of walk. That's Holy Week and Easter, the sufferings of our Lord, culminating in his death on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter morning. Walking it backwards, that's the meaning of Lent. The first clause of that passage, behold, we go up to Jerusalem to see everything accomplished concerning the Son of Man. Behold, our Lenten journey is our spiritual journey to Jerusalem with the Lord. In other words, we're going with Jesus to Jerusalem to be witnesses of his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Why? Because that's the meaning of life, in short. The cross is where God's love is fully disclosed, fully unveiled, fully poured out. We talked about that at some length in a very edifying register at the scripture study this morning with Dr. Jackson and with Putt. Divine love is the secret sauce of the universe. And to live in harmony with divine love means fulfillment and peace and eventually rising again with the Lord. It means glory for us. And to live against the grain of divine love means the opposite. It means frustration and anxiety, and eventually it means death. And not just biological death, but spiritual death, which is actually worse. You know, we think of spiritual things as sort of nebulous and unreal, but in fact, it's the opposite. The material world is the one that, by comparison with the spirit, is nebulous and unreal. And therefore, spiritual death is a bad thing. So that all sounds sort of nice about love, right? To go with Jesus to Jerusalem and be a witness of his passion and death and resurrection. But what does it all really mean? Obviously, going with him to Jerusalem, we're not going to get in a car or an airplane and go to Jerusalem. It's a metaphor. The vehicle in which we travel is the scripture readings and the prayers for the season, combined with the Lenten disciplines that the church offers us to undertake: fasting, prayer, almsgiving. And I want to consider each of these in turn. It's our last chance before Lent. Traditionally, in the Christian West, fasting, which is enjoined by our prayer book, meant one full meal a day with a light snack that was traditionally called a pittance. That's where our word, you know, we use the word pittance euphemistically for a little thing, right? It was just a pittance. But that was actually the word for a little meal taken during fasting season, a snack, as it were, in place of the regular full meal. So fasting meant one full meal a day with a pittance, a snack in the place of the other two. That's through the centuries, that's what the fasting discipline was in the West. Abstinence from flesh meat, in other words, everything but fish, seafood, was enjoined additionally on Fridays and on Ember Days. And our prayer book commends this to us. Since the 1960s, these ancient Christian disciplines have grown so lax as to be almost meaningless. You know, people now, mostly during Lent, I think, give up gummy bears or Netflix or something like that. But I would urge you to take Lent seriously. Embrace it with some rigor. Though I will add a word of caution too, if following that kind of discipline is ill-advised because of health reasons for you, you certainly should not undertake it. As I often note, so that's fasting, right? But what about prayer? Prayer, as I often say, does not just mean asking God for stuff, right? Lord, give me a pony. Prayer, rather, should be rooted in meditation on God's word. For Anglicans and Episcopalians, the prayer book is a tremendous, peerless resource in this department. The prayer book can be understood fundamentally as an ingenious apparatus for the regular and systematic meditation on Holy Scripture. Whatever you do in terms of your own prayer rule, the idea of Lent is to do more of it and to do a better job of it, to be more assiduous about your prayer life during Lent. Almsgiving means devoting money, but also your time, your resources, your talent, right? Time, talent, treasure, to God and to His purposes. Again, whatever you do in this regard, do more of it and a better job of it and with more assiduity during Lent. The whole undertaking is about giving ourselves to God and in service to others, saying with St. John the Baptist, "Let there be more of Jesus in me and less of me in me." Putt gave a great metaphor this morning about love and the divine love that underwrites everything. He said it's a gift from God, right? God empties himself and pours out his love on us. But it's like a gift that sits on the kitchen table wrapped up, right? And if you just walk past it, it's for you. If you just walk past it, never open it up, it's not fulfilled, right? You've got to open it up and receive it, right? And this is what Lent is about. This is what these disciplines are about. Letting the gift of God increase in your life by getting rid of carnal and worldly things. Not just sinful things, but the things that might be good in proportion, but which serve to distract us from the love of God. This undertaking is actually the opposite, therefore, of selfishness. And it's the meaning of divine charity, as the word is used in the epistle lesson today. It's what the cross is all about. The charity of God, the love of God. It's what Holy Communion is all about. It's why we're here this morning. It's the secret sauce of the universe. It is the stuff from which the material order came into being at the very beginning, the divine love. It is the stuff from which we came into being. It is the invisible dynamism that makes the stars shine and holds the planets in their orbit. Previous generations understood this intuitively, but I think modernity obscures it from us, which makes Christian disciplines like Lent all the more important for us modern people. Lent is really just a distillation and a focusing of the Christian life in general. It's about communing with this reality that really is the bedrock of everything. That's what John means when he says that all things were made by the divine word, and that without that divine word, nothing was made that was made. And John goes on to say that that divine word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We can have communion with that divine word. And what's the alternative? The alternative is to sit on the roadside, begging and unable to see anything, like the poor blind fellow in today's gospel. The alternative is to be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, as St. Paul says in the epistle, somebody who spouts noisy nonsense that ultimately doesn't mean anything. The alternative is, as Shakespeare put it, for your life to be a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. A final word. I hope you will take Lent seriously and use it as a time to take your search for the face of Jesus the unveiling of the divine love more seriously. Stop being distracted by Instagram or politics or pleasure seeking or whatever it is that distracts you from the love of God. Use the trustworthy forms of our religion, your prayer book, your Bible. Fast, pray, give alms. Use these means to go with Jesus to Jerusalem and to see the word of the prophets concerning the Son of Man accomplished, to see the divine love unveiled in the passion and death of God's only Son. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.